Welcome to Talking Giants presented by DraftKings. I'm your host, Bobby Skinner, here with my co-host, Justin Penick. Got their running backs. We're previewing the running back draft spot. We're going to do a redraft of pick 36 from last year. And we're going to talk about Russ Callaway. But Justin, I'm asking you how you're doing, even though realizing that we realize that we have to start doing the draft portion first and then putting it on the second episode, part of the episode, even though we already recorded first, and it always screws me up that now that we're restarting it. Like, this is the only time of the year we do this. And the listeners probably have no idea what's going on, too, because I probably just confused them.
Yeah, that's a lot. So, simplified version of that, draft episodes, so these episodes aren't an hour and a half long, like last week's was, like last Friday. We record the second part of the show where we preview the draft position first, and then we record the intro to see how long we can go. Bobby Skinner, I'm okay. Some things going on. I'm okay. Brain is disheveled. Have off from work this week, which is kind of nice. So, Giants, there's a lot of Giants news to get to. A lot of Giants news.
Yep. Before we get into that, Justin, this episode was brought to us by Dan Coveo. May have already said his name. I don't care. Dan Coveo. You got Emmett Dean. He's actually known best for his sausage. His uncle. His uncle's famous sausage.
Jimmy.
Yeah, James Dean. Joe Wasserbach. Joe washes your back. How about that? And then Aaron Peck. I saw Peck and immediately said Pecker. Aaron Peck.
Shh.
Justin, who are these Peckerheads?
Man. Peckerheads, good. Patreon.com/TalkingGiants. Those Peckerheads, that's the place that they went. And for $2 a month, they get to watch us record these messes of episodes where we're recording late at night because we're finishing the players, or more notably, Justin's finishing the players late at night and he needs to push back the recording time. Patreon.com/TalkingGiants. Thank you. Everybody who paid their credit card bill the month before, thank you for continuing to be a patron.
Thank you. Thank you big time. Thank you bigly. All right, Justin. News. The Giants hired Russ Callaway to be an offensive assistant. He's going to be working with the wide receivers. This guy's kind of overqualified for this spot a little bit, you know? Like, you see offensive assistant, it's like someone who's coming up through the ranks, and Russ is definitely doing that, but it's kind of weird. It's almost like he wants to be around, like, certain atmospheres, because even at LSU, he was an offensive analyst, which, like, that's not that sexy of a position. But even the LSU people are asking, like, is he going to be the next Joe Brady? Because that's kind of a similar role Brady, you know, Joe Brady went through. But before that, he was the Samford offensive coordinator and QB coach and was there when Devlin Hodges was there and had, like, Samford's offense was good. You know, usually you don't go from offensive coordinator to offensive analyst and then to the NFL as an offensive assistant. Before that, Murray State wide receiver coach for 2 years. So there's that. And then the connection with Joe Judge, Alabama defensive assistant from 2011 to 2012. So there's the Joe Judge connection. But before we get into it, like, he's kind of, this is one, a little late in the game for this hiring. And two, he's a little overqualified for this spot.
He's a former quarterback, team captain at Valdosta State. Callaway got his start coaching as Kirby Smart's inside linebacker's graduate assistant at Alabama 2011. He spent 2 seasons with the Crimson Tide, wide receivers coach, recruiting coordinator at Murray State. Then he went to Samford in 2015, helped the team rank among the top 5 in the FCS passing offense 2 of the last 3 seasons, including number 1 in 2018, averaging almost 400 passing yards per game. Bobby, we've been talking about, I don't know if we've been talking about it a lot. I do remember mentioning it at least once where, you know, part of our problem with keeping Jason Garrett around is older mind and we know what Jason Garrett has. Like, we know what Jason Garrett's about. At least bringing in a younger mind and an innovative mind. I feel like everybody that's under the age of 40 is an innovative mind simply because they're young. But I would like to think that this guy actually is. Now, apparently he's going to be just teaming up and coaching with the wide receivers. He's not going to be, you know, maybe like Freddie Kitchens, where Freddie Kitchens may actually have some substantial input into the game plan and maybe the play calling. But I'd like to think that this guy, he is 33, 34 years old. I would like to hope that the Giants can maybe keep him around and coach him up, form him, groom him up to maybe even take over as play caller one day if they see fit. Because clearly he's had success before, and he's had success throwing the ball, which I like.
Yeah, and I think this move got a little overreacted to, where it's like, oh, this guy's meant to be the replacement of Jason Garrett. It's like, no, he's the replacement of Stephen Brown. That's where you could read into it. Stephen Brown, who came over from Dallas with Jason Garrett, you know, he didn't return. We don't know what exactly happened. There was no, like, he got fired or anything. It's just he was no longer on the coaching roster. So the loss of Stephen Brown, he becomes like that, kind of filled that role. I'm not saying he's filling that same role, but like this is a kind of a normal job, you know, these offensive assistants. He's being paired with Tyke Tolbert, who was not a Joe Judge guy. He was maybe the only position coach retained from
Special
Pat Shurmur.
Special teams coordinator, McGahey.
Yeah, well, McGahey is the coordinator, and then Tolbert's the only position coach retained. So working with them. And, you know, people talk about the red zone, and I saw people talking about him in the red zone. That's what I noticed. I went and watched Samford versus FSU when he was the offensive coordinator. And when they got in the red zone, they were throwing the ball into the end zone. They were trying to get six. They realized the importance of being down there, and they weren't trying to get 5 yards and chip their way into the end zone. They were trying to throw the ball into the end zone, and that's something that me and you kind of hated about Jason Garrett. It's like we get down to the red zone, and we're not throwing the ball into there.
No,
and that's how Daniel Jones went from a guy on pace to set the rookie touchdown record to a guy whose touchdown numbers were like worse in the league on a per game rate.
And that's also why Wayne Gallman had a pretty solid touchdown total by the end of the year, because there would be some times, even when the Giants would go for it on a fourth down inside the 5 yard line, Wayne Gallman would just have four rushing attempts. And at times it's kind of like, all right, you know, if we're going to go for it on fourth down, just run the ball four times. Odds are if you're within 3 yards, you're going to get in, you know, just by balling forward. But yeah, definitely the passing league, bringing in this guy who is, you know, 33, 34, and we don't know a ton about him. But we know that he's young, and we know that the teams and the offenses that he's worked with before in the past have been successful, and particularly have been successful with scoring points and throwing the ball. What were the Giants not successful in last year? They were not successful with throwing the ball and scoring points. And I like this. I like that this move was made.
Yeah, me too.
Can I mention the thing that I'm going to mention?
What are you going to mention?
I'm going to mention that he has bad haircut.
How dare you? I like his hair.
Sorry, he just will not be a successful coach unless he gets a better haircut.
That's a style. That's a QB like style right there. I know he's not a QB.
I was shocked to see that he was 33 years old, because he looks 45 with that haircut.
It's a style. Football coaches aren't real people. People, you have to realize, like, they're not real people.
You know what? Stop. I want to stop this, because Joe Judge is a real person who likes to do things outside of football, who has a family, and he's like a good father. He hates golf, and that makes him like a somewhat average human being, because also you also hate golf, Bobby Skinner. Ooh, bad for DraftKings. They're not listening to the beginning part of the show. Spoiler alert, we have a golf read for DraftKings in a little bit, so stay tuned for that.
It's like they're just messing with us at this point. Every ad read we get, it's like, are you messing with me?
But in all seriousness, like, Joe Judge, we love that he's a people person. Ben McAdoo was, like, he was one of those crazy, like, I don't want to say, psycho is a strong word, but psycho football people. Like, he just didn't do anything but football. LPG gave us, like, the tip that he was, like, really fun with his players, and he was like, good with his guys, I guess, behind closed doors. So maybe he's a good family man, too. Pat Shurmur, same thing. Like, we're just like, weird dudes. Joe Judge is not that. So it's not everybody, Bobby. It's not everybody.
Maybe assistant coaches. How about that?
Sure.
So, yeah. Where you can, like, do the Jason Garrett. Like, it's like, okay, Stephen Brown leaves, which was, like, nobody talked about, because Stephen Brown wasn't anybody of note. Most 99% of people didn't know he was a real person until he got COVID in week 17. But it's interesting, offensive assistant coming in. And this is a little late in the game for that, too, which is pretty interesting. Like, what from the end of LSU's season to now made him want to, you know, change his spot up?
We believe in Joe Judge.
I wonder, where was he this past week?
I made a bleeding blue tweet. Was this offensive?
I hate those type of things, yes.
Father, son, holy
spirit. It's like
spirit,
the only thing that does offend me is those.
I know, that's why I'm asking. Bill Parcells on the left for father, Joe Judge in the middle for son, and then Holy Spirit is Tom Coughlin.
That's like the only things I won't joke about is that. Like, you can joke about anything else, and I just like, Like, I will refuse to press like on those tweets. All right, Justin. Time for the redraft. Time for the redraft. What we're doing. Just a way to kind of look at the draft. And also realize, like, you know, don't get caught up in draft rankings. Like, okay. Today, I watched a player who everybody was saying we can get in the second round. Like, oh, we don't need to do this because we get in the second round. And I watched said player today, Justin, and I hate him. I hate him so much. I think he's... I think he's... I don't hate him as a person. But I think he's a horrible player. I think he's going to... I think 3 years from now, we'll look back and be like, this guy was taken in the second round or the third round or whatever. Like, this guy isn't even a third round pick for me. Wyatt Davis out of Ohio State, I think he's horrible. Everyone's been saying, like, oh, we don't need to draft Rashawn Slater because Wyatt Davis. So I went, and not every player I go into watching their film with, like, all right, this is a good player to make a breakdown of. So I timestamp plays. Three plays in, I was like, oh, I'm not breaking down this player. Anyways. So last week we redrafted the fourth overall pick, and we revisited what we did in our mocks. So I stayed with Andrew Thomas. If you want to go listen to it, go listen to it. Justin did a ballsy pick, but I think he got, you know, probably the best player, and Justin Jefferson. Like, he went and got Justin Jefferson. Now you have a huge hole with the offensive line right now, which maybe you'll get later in the round. I know there's an offensive lineman on my mind later in this draft, which you'll probably hear on Friday. So, Justin, last year, the New York Giants took Xavier McKinney. Me and you both had Antoine Winfield Jr.'s in our mock drafts. So, us and the Giants were on the same page. We were looking for safety in the second round, that free safety. This is before Logan Ryan was on the team. This was before DeAndre Baker got arrested. But me and you were both looking at safety. You know, like, we like Julian Love, but he's not good enough to pass on anybody. The Giants went a different way with Xavier McKinney, and me and you went Winfield. So, are you sticking with Antoine Winfield? Are you sticking with the Giants or McKinney? Or are you going elsewhere?
You know what? I know we talk about with certain acquisitions the Giants made this offseason at corner, how they can maybe do a little bit more single high safety. They can do a little bit more man coverage. And, you know, that so they can blitz more. And Antoine Winfield, why you would want to take Antoine Winfield is because in college, he played like that single high safety role. Now, Pro Football Reference lists him as a strong safety for Tampa.
Yeah, so, he played, you know, there was times where he was playing deep, but they had him down the ball. Like, they had him, he's a do-it-all type guy, too. I don't think he got the credit that he deserved, but he was a do-it-all type guy, too.
I think I'm just going to, I'm sticking with Xavier McKinney. I'm sticking with what the Giants did because he had a first round grade on him. Now there's a couple guards out there that had a, you know, they had some pretty good rookie years, but, and I know there's a hole at the offensive line the Giants have right now, but sticking with Xavier McKinney, he had the first round grade on him. He fell to the Giants, and the fact that this year is still going to technically be his rookie year and we haven't even been able to fully even evaluate him as a football player, I think that's a reason to stick with him and stick with that pick in a redraft because right now the potential for Xavier McKinney is it's there. Yeah. First round grade. And I like the idea of having him as like this versatile chess piece versus, you know, if we were to take Antoine Winfield, we were kind of thinking that he would be primarily playing deep half safety when McKinney, he can play deep half safety from time to from the deep part safety time to time, but also he is much, much better when he's moving forward and when he's moving and when he's in the box as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought about staying with safety, but the addition of Logan Ryan changes things for me. You got Pep. I you know, Love is all right. You know, he's nothing special. Of that safety role. So you got your safeties, and it's less about them than it is this guy that I'm going to take. And I'm going Chase Claypool. You went wide receiver in your first round, so it wouldn't have made sense to double down and get Claypool. But Chase Claypool would have made a lot of sense for the Giants. We know Daniel Jones, you know, looking for those catch radius guys, those big play guys, and that's what Claypool was. You know, a big wide receiver who you can throw the ball up and place it downfield, and he'll go up and get it. And he does some other type of things. And that moves Shepard back into the slot. You got Slayton on the outside, and then Tate is kind of the odd man out. But, you know, when Shepard gets hurt, he's in there playing. So I'm going Chase Claypool. I know it doesn't make as much sense now with K Kenny Golladay on the roster. But hey, if I got Chase Claypool, Darius Slayton, Kenny Golladay, and Sterling Shepard, I'm feeling pretty good going into this draft. Yeah. Like, I don't really need to look at wide receiver. I've got my guys. Where, you know, if we don't have Xavier McKinney, are we going into this draft being like, man, it'd be nice to add another safety to this team? It'd be nice to add another wide receiver to this team. You know, we're a Golladay injury away from being a bad wide receiver core. With Claypool, I think you feel a lot. I think you feel better about the roster than you do with Xavier McKinney. So I'm going Chase Claypool and all his touchdowns.
Yeah, he would have dramatically improved the 2020 Giants, without a doubt. Like, he is that big physical, I can go up and I can pinpoint and catch a ball guy.
He is, and that's why I took him.
Boom.
Chase Claypool. Me and you both like Claypool. Like, he was we liked him, and then he had the nice combine. And then it's like, dude, we fall in love with the combine? It's like, screw it. Fall in love with the combine. This guy's about it. He can block. I remember I was sharing clips of him just destroying people as a blocker. I was a Chase Claypool fan. Everyone was like, oh, he's too high for the second round. Wrong. Look at us redrafting. And he's there. And we're taking him. Or I'm taking him. So right now, I have Andrew Thomas and Chase Claypool. You have Justin Jefferson and Xavier McKinney.
Yeah.
Who's going to block for you, man? People forget. You need to block.
Nick Gates for left tackle.
Nick Gates for left tackle. Just convince Nate Solder. You know what? Nate Solder feels more pressure to play if there's no Andrew Thomas. How about that?
Boom.
Even though we don't think Nate Solder's good.
That's my plan.
But it helps us out because now we could cut him this year with less dead cap.
Correct.
We are really just taking this. We took it like, hey, we got the benefit of hindsight, and we're just like using way too much hindsight at this point. All right. You ready for the running backs, Justin?
Let's run.
Come on, pay attention in there. Let's go. We got a beautiful day. Work. Play fast. Play fast. Whoa.
It's everyone's favorite tournament of the year. The golfers are in Augusta, Georgia to compete for the coveted jacket. And DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting you in the center of the action by giving you a shot to land the green. This week, DraftKings is giving you 100-1 odds on the golfer of your choosing to finish in the top 10. If you haven't tried DraftKings, this is the time. I mean, nobody likes golf more than us. I mean, we have so much respect for the game. You turn $1 into $100. It's simple. Pick any golfer from this weekend's tournament and they finish in the top 10. You cash $100. 100-1 odds in an offer like this doesn't come around often. So sign up for DraftKings Sportsbook now to get in on all of the action and choose your golfer before the tournament tees off Thursday morning. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code JOHNBOY when you sign up to turn $1 into $100. If the golfer of your choice finishes in the top 10 of this week's tournament, that's code JOHNBOY to turn $1 into $100 for a limited time, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. And if you need your golfer to win and he's behind, just like honk when the other person is golfing, scream in their back. There's so many ways to really gain the edge in golf, and people aren't taking advantage of this.
It's a shame. They should follow your book.
They should. They really should. They really should. All right, let's talk about some freaking draft people. We got running backs, the running back position. We started with edge because edge is a need, but it's not. You know, it's not a premier edge class. The Giants low-key kind of need a running back right now. Like, the only running backs they have in the roster are Saquon and Devontae Booker. There's no third-string running back. There's not even, like, an old vet who they kept around or you know, somebody from an undrafted guy from last year who's on the squad. They have nobody right now. So, third-string running back is kind of a need. And there's some guys here I like. So, running back, I mean, how do you feel about the running back spot?
It's weird because I think somebody put out an article this week, and I would feel bad if this is a friend. And at this, I mean, I guess it's beginning of April, so if there's a time to talk about it, it's now. And you know, before the draft, it's not like we're talking about this the week of the draft. You know, running back being a third string running back being a need, but third string running back is a pretty big need. And I'm like, define big need. Like, is it an important role because of the turnover that happens in the NFL with running backs in particular. Yes, it's a need the Giants need to address, but is it a need the Giants need to address in the NFL draft, especially when they only have six picks versus 10 picks?
They don't have to, but they they could, and it would make sense.
I would like that third running back, though, to be somebody on some sort of rookie contract, whether that's an undrafted free agent, whether that is a guy that we do draft, whether it's a young guy that maybe came from the 2020 class from last year. I would like that third string running back spot to be filled by somebody who is relatively younger that we can somewhat invest in, but not invest in highly with like a lot of resources, like, you know, a third round pick, fourth round pick.
Yeah, for me, the goal is either sixth round pick or undrafted free agent. Sixth round pick or undrafted free agent.
Yeah.
Two sixth rounders that are an undrafted free agent. But you know what? They may spend a fourth round too. And, you know, if there's a guy they like, we'll see. And Justin, the guy I'm going to start off with is someone who would fall in that fourth round range. He's probably like the top rated guy on my list, where the rest are more like, hey, these guys could fall. Khalil Herbert, running back out of Virginia Tech, 5'8", 204 pounds. He was down at the Senior Bowl, and I really liked him down at the Senior Bowl, Justin. I think he's got an elite vision finding holes and cutbacks. A lot of running backs, they come into the league, and they just don't have vision. They're go, go, go. And sometimes you can work with those guys. Herbert has that, though. And he's got good patience that can lead to big plays. You know, big plays aren't always going to be, you know, Saquon juking three people or you know, having that one big tackle, broken tackle, where Herbert's not, he's not really going to break those tackles in the open field, but he's got that patience. And then he's got the speed that when that hole sets up, go, go. He really has that type of patience. You put him in the outside zone scheme, he likes to set it up to really push that linebacker to its limit and make that cut off of that played side linebacker. So I think he'd be best in a zone scheme. And we do think the Giants want to implement some more, you know, inside zone, outside zone. You know, that was, you know, we heard that, you know, they wanted to do more of that with Saquon, and then he got hurt. And he's got the cuts to get upfield. He doesn't get much receiving yards, but Justin, and his stats in 2020 had almost 1,200 yards on 7.6 yards per carry. Only 10 catches, but he did turn his catches into some yards, 17.9 yards per catch. And he is actually a transfer from Kansas, who I know there's another guy, a guy on your list who's from Kansas. So Khalil Herbert, I think he's the top rated on my list.
Yeah, kind of 5'9", kind of a sneaky good size, especially if a guy's 5'9" and he's not under 180 pounds, like a lot of these smaller backs usually are. You know, being over 200 pounds, it's kind of a good size, especially for a guy that maybe has some sneaky speed. He apparently even returned kicks. He had one that was called back this year. And out of all the running backs that I haven't looked at a ton of running backs, but out of all the running backs that I've seen, you know, with, you know, PFF, yards after contact per attempt, he's had the most out of all the running backs that I've looked at, almost 5 yards, five and three quarters yards after the contact per attempt, which is not too shabby.
Yeah, I didn't know that. So you're teaching me about my guys. All right, so Justin, now, you have I like your list. I like your list way more than mine.
Ooh.
Like, I was putting together my profiles on your guys. It's like, oh, man, love this guy. Love this guy. Love this guy. Your first one's not a love guy. He's a like guy, you know. But your two and three are gotta have it for me. So who is first on your list?
That's big. All right, so you want to know what's funny about the way that I decided my list? I don't know how I decided Elijah Mitchell, which Elijah Mitchell from Louisiana is my first running back that
Raging
I'm going to be
Cajuns.
Looking at, the Raging Cajuns. I think I picked him because he went to Louisiana because of the Rob Sale connection. That may have been how my brain was working. I picked these running backs like
a week and
Mitchell, a half ago.
Mitchell was going to make it no matter what, because it's like, hey, we got to talk about the guy with the Rob Sale connection. Even if he was,
I think you might have told me to
horrible,
do
Elijah
Mitchell.
He was going
to
be on one of our lists.
So Rob Sale connection, but the rest of the guys on my list, here's how I decided my list, Bobby Skinner. There's one guy who has the same name as a Giants legend, former Super Bowl MVP. There's two guys on here that have really funny names, and there's one guy on here who's really big. That's how I picked my list, and I'm actually kind of happy with pretty much 50% of my list. Even the fourth guy with the funny he's really big. I even like him a little bit too. But Elijah Mitchell, 5'10", 215 pounds, and that's from the Senior Bowl, Bobby. I know you how you like
there
to get
you
on
go.
Me.
I like
heights and weights. I got that from the Senior Bowl. So 5'10", 215 pounds, Elijah Mitchell, Louisiana, Raging Cajuns. We're big Raging Cajun fans. In 2019. He had 198 attempts, almost 1,200 yards. 2020, he had 141 attempts, 878 yards. My plus-plus category, 42 rushing touchdowns, 5 receiving touchdowns in 41 career games. That's a lot. That's a lot of production. And he averaged over 6 yards per carry, 4 yards after contact per carry. Impressive stuff in the advanced numbers of yards after contact. It basically speaks for itself. Solid burst for his size and fancy footwork. You know, 215 pounds. It's not a huge back, but also it's not a small back, and he's got some pretty good burst for his size. My plus category, he runs tough. He falls forward. He keeps his feet churning. He fights hard to get out of tackles in some one-on-one situations. He's kind of your average running back. He's a good size, not too small, probably on the little bit of the thicker size. It's not a bad thing, but he's your average running back, and I like that. Rob Sale connection, and I put in my notes. Rob Sale connection. So if we get this guy somehow, it means that Rob Sale really likes him. It means that the Giants front office, they really like him, and that's a good thing. Solid pass catcher coming out of the backfield too. Saw some plays where he had to adjust to a short thrown ball, and he showed some good flexibility. He was able to keep his feet under him to get some yards after the catch. My minus category, while this can also be seen as a plus, because odds are he's not going to be getting a ton of carries as a backup, he has a lot of carries. He has 527 career attempts throughout his college career, which is a lot of miles under the legs. But if you're a backup running back, that may negate in the NFL. It's not like he's going to be a number one to start. Raging Cajuns have also produced some top quality offensive linemen while not facing a lot of top quality competition. So that could be a minus two. If the Giants take him, I'm happy because it means the Giants believe in him. Overall, he is a love it player. I love him. I do.
You know, like I said, like we're going to put him on this list regardless because of the Rob Sale connection. He's more than the Rob Sale connection, like you said, for all the reasons you said. I think his vision is like A1. He's a very smart player, which makes me a little more happy, excited about Rob Sale than it does him. Because it's like, man, Billy Napier's got himself a nice little coaching staff down there. You know, another guy where he's not going to break a ton of tackles, but he's not going to waste any time either. He's going to make the right read and go. You know, a little behind the scenes of how I look at these running backs. Every single carry, when he receives that handoff, I press pause and I see what lane is open right now and what lane might open up. And Elijah Mitchell always seemed to diagnose that really well and do it quickly. Yeah. So
helps when you fall forward too. You automatically get
needs momentum
half a yard and a whole other yard.
We're talking about yards after contact, guys. Well, that's who's next on my list. This guy's had the most yards after contact in the college football the last 2 years. Buffalo running back Jared Patterson, 5 foot, 795 pounds, so he is small. Over 1,000 yards the last 3 seasons at Buffalo. I mean, he had over 1,000 yards this past season in 6 games played. 7.6 yards per carry. A ton of touchdowns, 19 touchdowns, 14 touchdowns. Over 4,000 scrimmage yards in 3 years at Buffalo. And I mentioned the yak, 1,789 yak yards in two years. Some guys on these lists didn't even get that many yards at all in here. He got those in 2 years, just yards after contact yards. Feet never stop moving. I think he might be my favorite guy on here, where I think, you know, Khalil might be the best. Jared Patterson might be my favorite guy on my list. His feet never stop moving. He will get every yard. For a guy that plays that small, he gets every single yard possible. He's not getting yards after contact by juking a guy. He's running through dudes. Like whether it's spinning out of tackles to get an extra 2-3 yards, he gets those. Not afraid of contact. Like I said, small frame, just not afraid of contact. You see those type of yards and you see that size and like, this is the guy who bounces every play. This is the guy who bounces every play. That's not what he does. I think he's very patient. His vision is, man, when, you know, I was just saying, I do the pause thing and I'd be like, oh, yep, there's the hole. There's where he needs to hit. He wouldn't hit it. And then the play would develop, but he'd be patient. And then you know, a D lineman would jump into the other gap, and then boom, there's he goes. So, I think this guy might be the most underrated back in the NFL, in the draft.
Ooh.
When I look at, you know, what rankings are, I think Jared Patterson might be the most underrated. Let's his block set up. Doesn't have great speed, but it's not, he's not slow either. Good agility, power in his jump cuts. Bad blocker. Very bad blocker, though. So that's where the size shows up, is in his blocking.
He forced 46 missed tackles in 2020, which was 7th in the country, and he had 16 rushing attempts of 15 plus yards, which was 9th in the country. So, you know, even though he doesn't have that top end speed, you know, makes up for it, you know, in the capability he was to produce those explosive plays. And also, there's not really a better stat that a running back can have that proves individual performance than missed tackles and the yards after the contact as well. So, good for Patterson there.
Choo choo choo. Never mind. Go ahead. I was going to do a song line and it didn't make any sense.
No.
None at all.
No. You know who is fun, and I would love to even write a song about him. Puka Williams. 5'9", 175 pounds. This is one of the two guys on my list that has a funny name that I'm gonna talk about. I'm from Kansas. 5'9", 175 pounds. Puka Williams in 2019 is the year that he had more production. 203 attempts, about 1,000 yards, 5.2 yards per attempt, 3 touchdowns. He even had 27 catches for 214 yards for 2 touchdowns as well. 2020, 51 attempts, almost just about 200 yards. Average, you know, yards per carry was under 4. Not the most production in 2020. He only played 4 games. But Bobby, I have to tell you, Puka Williams is, you know how Joseph Asai, I just talked about how I enjoyed watching him play the game of football. I was almost like at a loss of words to describe how he was as a player. Puka Williams is the same thing. I just enjoyed watching him play the game of football. He has insane elusiveness, insane burst. He only seems to get faster and faster, even when he is cutting and shifting. As the play is going, he only seems to get faster. Do yourself a favor. Go and watch Puka against Texas in 2019. You will not be disappointed. That game within itself can work as a highlight tape for him. Big plays where he just runs in and out of the all around the entire defense. Even when he gets close, even when it's like short yardage opportunities, or even when he only gains a couple yards, he's making something out of nothing. A very, very fun football player to watch. One of the most fun players to watch in this entire draft class, I feel. My plus category, he runs tough. He has strong legs for such a small back. The other guy that you like, who's your guy to have it, I don't really view him as a small guy who runs, who has strength within his legs for his size. Puka Williams, I feel like for his size, he has strength in his legs relatively, like for how small he is. A lot of experience as a pass catcher, only one drop in his career. He is definitely a guy you want to get out towards the sideline versus rely on him going to the tackles. And he also averaged 24.6 yards per kickoff return in his college career. You don't want to rely on Puka Williams between the tackles. I mean, I feel like you kind of want to put him in an outside zone scheme, or he's going to be like a gadget slot guy, kind of like a Laviska Shenault, or even Lynn Bowden. Remember Lynn Bowden, I think I actually previewed him last year, probably talked about him being a late day 3 pick, and then boom, Lynn Bowden was taken like round 3 by the Raiders. I would not be surprised. I would not be surprised if Puka Williams is taken a lot earlier than we expect. You know, all these guys that we're looking at are day 3 picks. They're going to be like 6-round picks. They may even go undrafted. I think somebody who, like a coaching staff that trusts that they can use this guy and they can get him out into space, and maybe they like to do outside zone, they're going to take this guy, and they're going to get an explosive football player, a guy that can outrun anybody on the football field. He's a got to have it player for me, Bobby.
I like it. So let me play the advocate against Puka, because I know you like him more than Javion Hawkins, who you'll be talking about next. With Puka, I feel like he's going to create tackles for losses. Like, people get mad at Saquon. Like, Puka's going to create those, where I think I'm going to save my Hawkins talking point. But he does turn into those big plays. But for a player like that, I just feel like he doesn't have that speed to, like, be that guy. You know, like I said, I like him. I'm just playing the advocate on him. Fun fact. Did you know that Puka cut off some of his toes and his right foot while mowing the lawn.
I think that's made him faster, to be honest. I may try to do that.
Cut his toes off. That's crazy. But I do. He can. You can put him at. Use him as a receiver. Get up the seam quick. In fact, there was a play where he catches a seam route for a touchdown that was just like that Daniel Jones to Saquon Barkley touchdown versus Washington.
Yeah.
So you can actually use him as a receiver. So I do like the Pook man. I like the Pook man. All right, next on the list. This guy is probably polar opposite. Ramondre Stevenson, running back out of Oklahoma. Danny loves this guy. 5'11", 227 pounds at the Senior Bowl. 2020 had 101 carries, 665 yards, 7 touchdowns, 6.6 yards per catch. 18 catches, 211 yards, not bad. And then in 2019, 64 carries, 515 yards, 6 touchdowns, 8 yards per carry. So he doesn't have a lot of tread on his tires, which is important because he's a big bruising back. He is a bruiser. He is going to win with his size and by running guys over. And what I like about him is he knows that. He knows that. He's going to run through you. Like, that is his goal in his plays, is to run through you. He's going to run through you. That is his goal. The downside of that, though, is he doesn't have great vision or patience. Like, if a gap closes, he's not going to bounce it into the open gap. So it's kind of like the good and bad of Ramondre Stevenson is the same thing, where it's like, hey, he knows where he's supposed to be. He's going to go. He's going to hit it hard. But when a play doesn't go as scripted, you know, a play where he could maybe get 5 yards, he's going to get like 2 or 3, which there's value in a type of back like that. But he also could get better with that. I'm not going to juke anybody in the open field, it's not because he can't. It's because he just doesn't even try. Like, in the open field, I'm going in a straight line, and I'm going until I'm done. But because of that type of stuff, he always falls forward. He's a good guy that's always going to fall forward. So Ramondre is a guy who could make sense for the Giants, you know? If it's like, hey, we want a third-string running back to be the guy, like, right now we have, you know, Devontae Booker, who's not going to be the pounded down your throat guy. Saquon Barkley is obviously not that. Ramondre could make sense. He's like, I'm going to be the guy that just pounds it down your throat. And Danny King's a big fan of Ramondre.
It's strange to see how the yards after contact per attempt is 3.9. It is under 4. It also could be a scheme thing. I can imagine having a running back that's almost 250 pounds isn't the exact ideal situation for an offense that runs spread. I'm pretty sure Oklahoma runs primarily a spread offense.
And also part of that is, like, he's not going to be the guy that breaks a tackle and then gets an extra 50 yards, where, you know, your next guy, you know, Puka, like, those guys can do that, where his yards after contact is more consistent, but it's not like big play yards after contact.
We've been teasing it long enough.
My guy.
We've been teasing it long enough. Here's the Bobby Skinner's about to fanboy. I feel like I'm not about to shit on him, but this is going to be a good balanced conversation. Javion Hawkins, 5'9", 195 pounds. He went to Louisville in 2019, 264 attempts, over 1,500 yards, 5.8 yards per carry, 9 touchdowns this year in only 8 games, 133 attempts, 822 yards, 6.2 yards per attempt, 7 touchdowns. Also has a decent amount of receiving experience. Had it more this year, 16 catches, 127 yards with the receiving touchdown. In my plus-plus category for Javion Hawkins, I feel like if you are under 5'10", and you're under 200 pounds, you have to have quick feet. And Hawkins definitely does have some good feet and agility. Big plays, he averaged 6 yards per carry the last 2 seasons when you combine the two. Posted touchdown runs of 75 yards, 70, and 90 yards all in 2020. He's very patient. He allows plays to develop. I guess that's the biggest difference between him and Puka. I don't think Puka's very patient. Hawkins is definitely a guy where he's going to fit a certain scheme, especially an outside zone scheme. He's going to fit it a little bit better than Puka, where you have to get creative to how is Puka Williams going to fit. But Davion Hawkins, it could be a little bit easier for him to fit, especially since most of his runs were going to the outside. You need a little patience to allow those blockers to get into place, and Hawkins definitely has that. Now, my plus category, I said he is a poor man's Puka Williams. Because I honestly do feel like Puka's faster. I feel like Puka's faster. I feel like he's more agile.
Way faster than
you
me.
Disagree. Well, then talk
I just think
to me.
I think he's faster than lightning. I think he's way faster. And you mentioned the patience thing. Where my issue with Puka is that I think he can create tackles for losses. I think Javion doesn't do that. I think he fixes tackles for losses. Where Puka can, you know, he's going to have those wild plays. Hawkins is going to have those wild plays too, but I don't think he's creating as much. The issue is he has one speed though. Like, it's patience because it's outside runs, but he is like, boom, boom, go fast. He's not going to cut a run up.
Yep.
He's trying to get outside, which I think is a good fit for the Giants. And as their third running back, and his offensive line was like, you know, Louisville was not good as blockers for them. So again, he doesn't have great vision. I don't think he has patience. I think he's just the scheme of Louisville makes it look like patience, where it's like, no, this is just an outside design play. And yeah. I think he
basically just run to the sideline, run to a spot.
Where it's like those outside zones, those outside pulls. I think with his speed on play action outside zones, it's going to really influence linebackers on those play action things. He's a real receiving threat. It's not his fault that Louisville's quarterbacks are horrible. Not very strong, you know, so he's not going to be a good blocker, but I think he's fast as lightning, man. And he's going to be a big play guy in the NFL.
He's a like it player for me. I'm sorry. He's not even a love it. I love Puka. So here's the thing. There's a good chance if I watched Hawkins first, there's a good chance that I may be more impressed with Hawkins. And then if I watch Puka second, then I'd be like, it may be reversed. But it was the fact that I watched Puka first and then I watched Hawkins after that. And I was just like, nah, I feel like he's a poor man's guy that I just watched before.
Want to know a fun fact? I've become the fun fact guy.
I love that.
He went to Coco High School.
Mm.
Which is where I lived. In fact,
wow.
if my address for my bank is still Coco, Florida. I still haven't changed it.
Yeah.
I haven't lived there in a year and a half.
I get some things in the mail.
I mean, I'm only 20 minutes away right now, so it's not like I moved, you know, a long distance. But yeah, Coco's finest. Probably means he's a low character guy, to be honest, but we can deal with it. So Javion Hawkins, one of my favorite guys. All right, so I'm getting so wrapped up in your guys' list, and we're talking about, you know, running backs. I'm throwing a little curveball. This guy, guess what my letter grade for this next player was?
C+.
He is my highest graded player at his respected position. At his respected position, he is my highest graded player in the entire NFL draft. But that position is fullback, and it's Ben Mason out of Michigan. 6'2", 246 pounds. I love this guy. I think he's going to come in and immediately be a top three fullback in the NFL. Immediately. Like, I think this guy is the real deal. He was bred to play football. In fact, we know the O'Briens, you know, John Boy Media, they grew up on, like, the same street of him. They're like, yeah, he's kind of like a football weirdo. Like he didn't do anything bad. Like, he just trained to play football. Like, he was bred to play football. Obviously, we know him from Michigan. Elite blocker. An elite run blocker. He will blow you up. He will manipulate you. He will torque you in the way you go. He will change your running game. He will change your running game the way he's a lead blocker. You can even line him up in tight end and use him as an inline blocker too, and he's going to do that well. Great feet. Always. I mean, he's a beast of a blocker. I think a lot of times, like, oh, fullback, good blocker. Ben Mason would immediately come in and be a top three fullback in the NFL. 10 touchdowns at Michigan. Obviously, those are all from short yardage. He's not going to add anything as a runner. But, you know, that does show. It's like, hey, you got a fourth and one. I hate the fullback dive, but if there's anyone doing it, I would want Ben Mason doing it. Not much as a receiver. And to play fullback in the NFL, you have to be a special teams ace. Now, I don't watch special teams snaps, so I'm taking this at what people say. Special teams ace. It's so fun to watch him just destroy people. He was at the Senior Bowl, whether it's at Michigan, he just destroys people in the run game. And I'm a big believer that every NFL team should carry a fullback. It changes the way teams have to prepare. It gives you there's no reason not to. There is the 53rd, whoever would be your 53rd man on the roster is not as important as having that option to be a fullback, even if you only use it twice a game. With Ben Mason, you'd use it a little more than twice a game. But having that extra good lead blocker changes the running games. It screws up gap control football. So, Justin, let me pose this question to you. This guy, if you think he's going to come in and be a top fullback in the NFL, Are you okay with taking a fullback in the sixth round?
Yes.
Okay. Because some people won't be. Some people will hate that idea. But I'm fine with it because it's Ben Mason. Any other fullback I'm not taking in the sixth round. Ben Mason I will.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny how people in your mock draft video, there was one person that commented. It kind of got me a little mad. No, I think somebody commented on my Twitter and they said, "You don't draft for need." That's kind of false.
Sometimes you do.
You have to draft for need at least in the beginning part of the draft. Yeah. But then towards the second half of the draft, you know, especially after rounds 4, 5, and 6, definitely 7, you draft whoever the best player is. And if this guy's the best player available, you take him.
Yeah.
And you know, just ask my good friend Orleans Darkwa how much it hurt not having a fullback.
Shane Smith made his money was blocking for Orleans Darkwa. And then he sucked the next year. Good friend though. Yeah. Shout out Shane Smith.
Shout out Orleans.
So, and I pose it to this. Would you rather have Cam Brown or Ben Mason? Give me Ben Mason. Give me the best player at a position.
Yeah.
And you can cut Elijah Penny. You can cut Colin Gillespie. Like, don't mention those guys as the reasons not to take Ben Mason. I'm fine with riding with either one of those, but Ben Mason, I would be cool with. So, Ben Mason, how about that?
I have another fullback. I put initially on my list that I was going to do another running back, but you know what? We're going to stick with the fullbacks. Torrey Carter, 6'2", 244 pounds from LSU. Torrey Carter wants to hit people, Bobby Skinner. Point blank, when you have an interaction with Torrey Carter, he wants you to not want to play football again. And I don't like those people. Those are not fun people. In 2020, LSU rarely relied on a fullback, so he was mostly given special teams duties, and oh boy, did he make the most out of that role. Now, I have a little bit of a question because there's not a lot of special teams film. There's not even a lot of film on Torrey Carter to begin with. But I was reading a couple, you know, some local websites, and they said a critique of Torrey Carter is that he has a hard time pinning down blockers in the open field, which is a very hard thing to do. You know, if you're running like a bat out of hell and you have an elusive linebacker, an elusive defender, and if you're lunging, if you're caught lunging, which is pretty easy to do when you're running full speed as a fullback trying to engage somebody. So I think that's one of the only negative parts of Torrey Carter's game that at least I read about. Bobby Skinner, I'd be interested to hear what you have to say about that. But if that's your negative part of your game, in terms of your ability as a fullback, then I can only imagine that would also translate to special teams. You running down the field full speed and not being able to tackle a ball carrier who's also trying to juke you, get out of your way.
Yeah, I'll be honest. Torrey Carter's your only guy I did no homework on.
That's fine. Here's what you need to know. He plays like a bat out of hell. He has eye black that he paints all over his face, and he, like, smears it down, and it's not just a look. He does it because he's a psychopath. And there's a couple clips of him. I think there's a clip against Arkansas where he's running down on the opening kickoff, and he doesn't demoralize the ball carrier. He just head-on-head collision, too, by the way. Like, he does what they teach you to not do. He led with the crown of his helmet, and he just destroyed the lead blocker. So, I mean, it helped somebody else make the tackle, but he's a nut job.
You know what? Speaking of nut jobs, Justin.
Oh, speaking of nut jobs, Bobby Skinner. Ba-da-da-dum, ba-da-dum, ba-da-da. With the first pick of the 2021 men's grooming draft, the Ball Saxonville Saguars. Get it? Jacksonville Jaguars, Ball Saxonville Saguars, select Manscaped, the team's leader in below-the-waist grooming. Looks like Mel Kiper gave this an A-plus grade because the pick is a major upgrade for that Bush defense. This is funny. For all my NFL draft fans, we have an exclusive 20% off promo code GIANTS at manscaped.com, including even free shipping. 20% off and free shipping, manscaped.com when you use promo code GIANTS. Bobby Skinner, I did a 40-yard dash pro day. I did it in New Jersey on a blue football field. And I ran a 4.32, and the video was sponsored by Manscaped, so thank you, Manscaped. You want to know why I ran that 4.32?
Why?
Because I shaved my balls before with the Lawnmower 3.0. That's why.
Did you share, did you mow the lawn? Hey, here's something.
Mowed the lawn. Sure.
Puka Williams, if he was mowing his lawn with the lawnmower 4.0, he wouldn't have cut his toes off because it's Nick Free.
Well, the lawnmower 4.0 hasn't come out
just
yet.
Just like New York, Nick Free. The Knicks suck. All right, go Nets.
Oh,
jeez. We beat your big five.
Go Nets. Use promo code Giants for at manscaped.com, any of your products. Thank you, Manscaped, for being wonderful.
Very good. Very nice. All right, Justin. Next on my list. I told you, I'm the trivia guy. I have taken over the trivia role on this show. Justin, what player in the NFL draft was teammates with both of the New York Giants' last first-round picks, and Andrew Thomas and Daniel Jones?
I don't know.
Duke running back Deion Jackson, running back out of Duke. Now, I definitely took him because he's a Duke player. 5'11", 218 pounds. Best year was with Daniel Jones in 2018, you know, which was 2 years, you know, which was, you know, now his sophomore year. That was his best season as a Duke Blue Devil, where he had 847 rushing yards on 5.3 yards per carry. He had 26 catches for 253 yards and 2 touchdowns, which was his best receiving year. Had an 1,100 scrimmage yards with Daniel Jones, where he didn't have 1,000 after that, you know, with Quentin Harris or Chase Bryce as his QB. And, you know, Duke played 11 games this year, so it's not like they got affected crazy by COVID. Could be a good receiving back. But, like, you can put him out wide as wide receiver. You can line up in the slot, outside. They did that stuff with him, with Daniel Jones. But what was Daniel Jones' biggest issue at Duke, Justin?
His not very good skill position players around him.
The drops. He has a lot of... On 87 career targets, he has 9 drops. That's really bad. And 11 fumbles. So he's not very careful with the ball at all. As far as a runner, he's got good speed in the open field. I want to bring up his pro day 40 time, which was 4.32, but it's like, you know what? Pro day 40 times aren't real.
I also ran a 4.32.
Oh, that's true. So you and Deion Jackson, can you catch the ball?
Yes, I can. If you put a drink in my left hand at MetLife Stadium parking lot K12, I can catch anything with my right hand.
So he hits the hole hard. So good for him on that. He's not going to do anything outside the scheme as a runner. Can be kind of easy to bring down at times, but unlike a lot of these guys, he's taking snaps out wide in that slot. And if there was one guy on this list where it's like he reminds me the most of Deion Lewis, who the Giants valued, Deion Jackson would be it. So maybe we can reunite the gang of Daniel Jones and Deion Jackson.
They have the same first name too. Coincidence? I think not.
No, they don't. It's Deion, not Daniel Jackson.
No, Deion.
Oh, that's true. I didn't think about that. How about that? I didn't realize Andrew Thomas was his teammate in high school until he quote tweeted him. I was like, oh wow. I was like, is Andrew Thomas down with Duke gang? I was like, no, they went to the Pace Academy in Georgia.
It's a small world after all. Next on my list, Chuba Hubbard, another guy with a funny name.
I think it's Chuba.
Nope, I'm calling him Chuba because it sounds more inappropriate when you call him Chuba.
Chuba Hubbard.
Could be Chuba, and I apologize to Mr. Hubbard. I'm going to call him Mr. Hubbard. That's fun. 6 foot, 208 pounds, Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State is like they were like really bad this year. At least I watched them against Oklahoma. They were bad. Bad quarterback, bad offensive line. It was just
bad.
But
they have Tevin Jenkins, who I love. But yeah, the rest of their line was bad. Yeah. And they have Tylan Wallace, a good wide receiver. So it's like they had that big three, and they just suck.
My plus plus.
Oklahoma State was better than you're giving them credit for.
I just watched
them versus Oklahoma.
I watched a bad game. My plus plus category, Mr. Hubbard is patient, but he also runs with a pretty good tempo and pace. His vision is probably his biggest plus. Good feel for running between the tackles, which can be a challenge when so many schools are running the spread. Efficiency. Something I like out of a backup running back. Smooth is probably the best word to describe his play. My plus category is 2019 season was bananas from a usage and a production standpoint. Over 2,000 yards. Clearly, the offensive line play was down this year, and their QB was horrible, like I said. Over 3 seasons, he has a lot of experience as a pass catcher. Rarely will do what Puka or Hawkins will do. in terms of improvising and rushing, running around, and he's going to be efficient. He's going to go north and south. He's not going to bounce carries outside. That's the phrase I was looking for. My minus category, just like your last guy, Bobby, 5 fumbles in 2019 and 2 more in 2020. Has a little bit of a fumbling problem. Something you don't want your backup running back to do if he ever does get an opportunity for a carry, because then everybody will want him to be perished from the earth. Led the nation in carries in 2019 with 328. I always put that as a minus because I just don't like running backs with a lot of miles on their legs. Not the strongest runner, not always falling forward. He's an average back. I like him. On my like it, love it, gotta have it scale.
I hate doing player comparisons, but you know who he is. I only do player comparisons when it's actually a Giants player.
Sure.
He is Wayne Gallman. He is Wayne Gallman to me. Because I think he's overrated. One, the fumbles. Wayne Gallman has issues with fumbles. And I would start... You mentioned vision, and I was like, at first watching him, I was like, his vision is good. I was like, you know what? His vision really isn't that good. He's just looking to cut up every play. And on that outside zone Oklahoma State would run, he was just pressing that one linebacker and waiting until he could cut up, and then the O-line would do a decent job. So he's just always looking to cut up, you know, where there'd be times where it's like, man, the blocks are setting up on a design outside run. You could get 50 yards on this, but you got 8 because you cut up way too early. So that's why, and you mentioned the fumbles. Okay, blocker, he's not going to take a tackle for a loss, which is a good thing. You know, that's the thing we like most about Wayne Gallman. But he is Wayne Gallman, and I don't mean that in a flattering way.
You never talk about Wayne Gallman in a flattering way. Never. Not once.
I was a Wayne Gallman fan in season. I just wasn't a Gallmanite.
Efficiency. That's what Mr. Efficient. Hubbard is.
Yeah, he's efficient. Like Wayne Gallman, he's efficient. Yeah. So like I said, like one of my bullet points is like, start out liking his vision, and then it went down. Like, it was just like, oh, he's just doing the same thing over and over again. It's not really great vision, because it's like whenever a play opens up outside, he never takes it. He's just getting the for sure yards instead of taking a chance and making a big play. So, all right, Justin, we're going to do 1 minute. These last two guys, you got 1 minute to explain them.
Yes.
No back and forth conversation.
No.
Trace. Okay, I'm putting 40, 30. All right. Trey Sermon, running back of Ohio State, 6 foot, 215 pounds. You all know him from the Clemson semifinal game, and then he got hurt in the national championship versus Alabama. And in 2020, after transferring from Oklahoma, 116 carries, 870 yards, 4 touchdowns, 7.5 yards per carry. He's worked best in his own scheme. He is a guy who's going to, you know, press that linebacker, get upfield. Press the linebacker, get upfield. His cuts aren't great. They're very rounded out. But if you're trying to grab him around the legs, he's not going to let you. He's got a strong lower base. He's not going to really juke anybody. His tackles are... His way of avoiding tackles is by just running through. Running through guys going at his legs. And he's got a mean stiff arm. I think that's his best, like, move. Is he has a mean stiff arm in the open field. And I wrote that down, and then I read a scouting report, and it said it. So it made me feel good about my thing. Decent speed. Good agility with patience. That was 1 minute. Justin, who do you got next?
Otis Anderson Jr., 5'11", 174 pounds, from UCF, University of Central Florida. Bobby Skinner, I think you told me, he's like, you do know that this guy is being estimated, like, on big boards, he's ranked as, like, 400th. By my calculations, that is the 12th and a half round. There is only 7 rounds in the NFL draft. He will probably be undrafted. Good math. Special teams experience. He has the special team experience as a punt returner. That could help his chances of making a 53-man roster. Caught my eye when I was watching Houston and Peyton Turner. Ton of big plays, nice cuts, and vision, all while being a versatile guy and very much in a rotation of running backs. He lined up as both a receiver and a running back. 91 receptions over 4 years. Over 2,000 rushing yards in his career. Over 1,000 receiving yards. That's a very, very fun gadget player. No relation to Otis Anderson. Super Bowl.
Even though he's Otis Anderson Jr., which is crazy.
No relation. Otis Anderson did clarify that on Twitter, so I put that in my minus category, that he's not related to Super Bowl 25 MVP. Bobby, he's kind of like a love-it player, because I liked him because I was watching somebody else, and then I watched him a little bit more, and I continue to like him. And he has kind of insane stats for being a guy that kind of just did anything and played everywhere.
He's also versatile. He legit played wide receiver reps. Like, when I first started watching his film, I was like, is this the right guy? He's playing wide receiver. They played him at wide receiver. All right, that's an episode. We appreciate you. We'll be back on Friday with the tight ends in the third round of our redraft. Appreciate you guys. See you then. Until then, let's go Big Blue.